Okay, we're going to continue the message theme for the whole year is to live in awe. This month, we're going to take a look at living inside the kingdom. Living inside the kingdom. Not just a spectator looking into the kingdom, but living inside the kingdom. I don't know what you think about when you hear that phrase. Jesus talked about the kingdom a lot, but he talked in parables. You know, the kingdom is like a mustard seed. Well, that was helpful. But I think what he went on to say is it's bigger than you think. Don't judge it from appearance. The kingdom is like a pearl of great price, a treasure hidden in a field. Many times he talked about the kingdom. In those last two, the person gave everything they had to obtain the kingdom. And that's the point he was trying to drive there. You need to give everything you have. It's not some faraway place above the clouds. If you're thinking the kingdom of heaven is where you're going to go sit on a cloud and play your harp, you can't even play a harp anyway. But Jesus kept saying, the kingdom is at hand. The prayer he taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Now, as it is in heaven. We're going to explore this topic all month. Today, I'm going to talk about the rich young ruler. Many of you have heard that story before. It starts in Mark 10, 17. Today I'll be looking at the easy-to-read version. Verse 17 says, Jesus started to leave, but a man ran to him and bowed down on his knees before him. Time out. I have heard this message many times. I've probably preached on this message. This week, I saw that verse. Never noticed it before. Partially because it's only recorded in Mark. Matthew and Luke also talk about this story, but they don't include this verse. But Jesus started to leave. Leave what? What was he leaving? And this man ran to him. Why was he running? Jesus wasn't running anywhere. He could have walked to him, but he ran to him. And he bowed down on his knees. So I want us to back up and take a look at where this came from. Why? What was Jesus starting to leave? We're going to go back to Mark 10, 13. And even that begins in an awkward place. But we won't go back to read it. I'll just tell you, Jesus had just had a confrontation with the Pharisees. Surprise, surprise. And they were trying to tangle him up in words about divorce. And he was having none of it. And when they realize they lost, they go storming off. And it says that Jesus and his followers went into a house. Well, that's unusual. Usually he was out in the field. But this time he's in a house talking to his followers. And he's explaining to them what's just taken place and how the Pharisees don't know what's going on, really. And then this happens, verse 13. The people brought their small children to Jesus so that he could lay his hands on them and bless them. But the followers told the people to stop bringing their children to him. Jesus saw what happened. He did not like his followers telling the children not to come. So he said to them, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. Here's the key piece. Because God's kingdom belongs to people who are like these little children. Have you ever taken your kids to the mall at Christmas to get those pictures with Santa Claus? You know, the drunk old white man, white-haired man. I know Becky has tried to do that, and sometimes they didn't want to go because he was scary. You know, but we don't find that happening here. These children aren't afraid of Jesus. The love of the Father is just oozing out of him. And they're drawn to him. We need to be more like these kids, not afraid of God. He's not scary. He's loving. and we can go to him freely. In fact, listen to what Jesus says next, verse 15. The truth is, you must accept God's kingdom like a child accepts things, or you will never enter it. Then Jesus held the children in his arms. He laid his hands on them and blessed them. You must accept the kingdom like a little child accepts things. These kids didn't come to Jesus saying, "Ooh, bless me, because I've been really good." They weren't proclaiming their goodness or their worthiness. They just came as they were. Dirty hands and feet, smudged faces. They just came to him. And see what happens next. Jesus held the children in his arms. He wasn't afraid of getting dirty, getting spit up on. Nothing like that. He laid his hands on them and blessed them. Wow. To be held in his arms and to be blessed. That's good stuff. I like the sounds of that. There are times when I just needed to be held. Life was tough and I needed to be held and blessed. And he's been there to do that. Now let's go back to that verse 17. Jesus started to leave. Where was he leaving? Oh, he was leaving the house that he had been in. But a man ran to him and bowed down. Why did he run? Well, I think, my opinion, is that he wanted to meet Jesus in the house in private before Jesus got out into public. The man asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to get the life that never ends?" Now, we really don't know much of anything about this guy. We don't know his name, who he was, where he was from. We call him the rich young ruler, but did you hear me read those words? Not at all. We only know him as rich young ruler by piecing the whole thing together from the other gospels. Like I said, he's mentioned in Mark and Matthew and Luke. John doesn't mention him for some reason, but John's reason for the gospel was different than the other guys. They were telling what happened. John is telling them why happened. So we try to piece these things together. All three of them say he was rich. I'll give you that. But Luke, our detail guy, uses the word sphodra. That Greek word means very or exceedingly rich. He had lots of money. Matthew tells us he was young. And the Greek word that Matthew uses is neoniskos, which means very young or youthful. So what's the big deal? Not many kids are very, very wealthy on their own. His wealth was probably inherited. He didn't earn it. He just got it. Nice to be him. Being so young, he wouldn't have had time to inherit or to earn a lot of wealth. Luke, our detail guy, tells us he was a ruler. But he couldn't have been a Roman ruler, because what Roman ruler is going to go into a Jewish house and bow down before a Jewish rabbi? So he's probably a religious ruler. He says, "Good teacher." So the encounter begins. What must I do to get eternal life or to have a life that never ends? But sounds reasonable, sounds right almost, but there's a mindset there. He's thinking in terms of, okay, what do I need to do to add this piece onto my already wonderful life? I'm rich and young and have position and notoriety. How do I get to add this onto my life so that I can do this forever? He thought that the kingdom of God was just one more achievement to add on to his life. But look at Jesus' answer. Instead of answering that question, Jesus starts with, "Why do you call me good?" Verse 18, "Only God is good. And you know his commands. You must not murder anyone. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not lie. You must not cheat. You must respect your father and mother." Jesus' first focus is, why did you call me good? And I suspect Jesus is saying, I see what you're doing there. You think you can gain advantage over me with flattery? Not happening today, bud. Only my father is good. So don't try that stuff with me. But then he goes on, after redirecting his attention away from people and positions, he redirects it back to God. Then Jesus goes on and walks him through the commandments. Okay, but not all the commandments. Let's take a look at those commandments. I highlighted in blue the ones that Jesus mentioned. Aren't those other ones pretty important? Why didn't he mention no other gods? No graven images, not taking the Lord's name in vain and remembering the Sabbath. Jesus focused on the interpersonal relationship commandments. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, essentially, and don't covet. This approach that Jesus took was to show the guy, to help the guy see for himself that his issue wasn't keeping the commandments. His issue was his focus and where his attention was. We see that when this guy responds in verse 20. He says, "Teacher, I have obeyed all these commands since I was a boy." Not all the commands, but all these commands. "I've been good to people since I was a boy." All puffed up. "Yeah, I got you now, Jesus." Jesus looked at a man in a way that showed how much he cared for him. I think it was sadness in his eyes. And he said, "There's still one thing you need to do. Go and sell everything you have. Give the money to those who are poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me." You see, it wasn't about the man's ability to keep commandments. He'd kept the blue ones. It was about his heart. The possessions weren't just things that he owned. They were things that owned him. He was full of pride in his youth, his position, and his wealth, and his ability to honor the code of conduct with his fellow man. Jesus says, "That's not it, man. That's all human effort. That's not going to cut it in my kingdom." By telling him to give to the poor, Jesus was wanting to show him that all these things, his wealth and his abilities, were his true idol. And with that, he had violated the first commandment. Without having to say so, he told him, "You missed the first part, because you don't honor God above all this. You've made an idol of your riches and of your abilities." The man got the point too, by the way. Verse 22, the man was upset. Not just unhappy, he was upset. Dare I say, he was probably mad. When Jesus told him to give away his money, he didn't want to do this because he was very rich. So he went away sad. Now, this kind of awkward spot right here. Jesus loves everybody, right? But Jesus doesn't chase after this man. He lets him go. And that creates a little bit of tension. It's uncomfortable. But it tells us something very important. You can be very close to the kingdom, right at the door, and still not be in the kingdom. His sorrowful departure warns that all those efforts that we have, well, I can't rely on my youth anymore, but you know, my efforts, my possessions that I might try to rely on, my health, such as it is, that I might try to rely on, aren't going to cut it. They're not enough to enter the kingdom. So, my goodness, so what is? That's why I called the title of this message, The Doorstop. Not referring to the little block of wood that you stick under the door, but the action of getting to the door and stopping, not entering on in. It breaks my heart. I see far too many people that have come right up to the door and stopped. They prayed the prayer, got the handshake, got their secret decoder ring, but they're stopped at the door, waiting for a kingdom that's out in the by and by. But Jesus said the kingdom is now. Jesus says the kingdom is here. Enter into the kingdom here. Don't be stuck at the door waiting for something out there because you're missing it. Sometimes we are like that little block of wood. We're the doorstop. One of my pet peeves, when we go shopping at Aldi's, you get your cart outside and you go wheeling it through the door behind all the other people, it's the people that get in just inside the door. The door can hardly get closed behind them, and now they've got to stop and look at their grocery list. It's like, move in the door. Let somebody else in. But, yeah, Judy can attest that I get irritated. It's like, move on, people. You know. But sometimes we're that way with the kingdom. We've stopped at the door and we're blocking everybody behind us because they're looking at us and the way we're acting and they think that's all there is. Don't stop at the door, people. So it's like, and I've done this in the real world, but when I was in business, because I was director and manager and somebody that was supposed to be important, there would be these meetings that you have to go to. And, you know, I don't have that personality that wants to just charge right in there and, hey, high five on everybody. And that's not me. So you get to the door and it's like, I got to go into that room. And I've got to make conversation with people I don't even know, or if I do know them, I don't even like. But I've got to be the man and walk in and do this. Judy said to me before about, how come you can do that? And I said, because I was forced to do that for 30 years, you know. I was a doorstop, stopping at the door. It happened all the time. I get there and it's like, okay, now I guess I got to go in. Don't stop at the door. That's my point. But it's human nature. For me, it was, If I go in there and say something, it's going to be dumb, because that's what I do. I'm going to make a joke that isn't funny. Somebody else is going to make a joke that I don't think is funny. You know, it's just awkward. And so human nature is to hold back, preserve our dignity, as if we had any. Or you've all seen it with children. How about the child that wants to go and play? You see this first day of school. There are the kids that they can't wait to bust through the door. That's our little Hannah. She didn't look back. She's on a mission. But there are the children that hold back. They want to go in, but they don't want to let go of mommy's hand because there's security holding on to mommy's hand. This rich young ruler had security holding on to his riches and his title. If we're honest, we're that way too. We're like those kids. We've got to ask ourselves some serious questions. I got four of them. There's probably a lot more. What keeps me from entering in? What am I losing by not entering in? What will I gain when I do enter in? And how do I get these feet to step over the threshold? See, it's a whole being faith. It's going all in. It's not holding anything back. It's not relying on anything of myself, but relying on Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I adore you. As we just sang about. Not with part of our heart. Not with, okay, I'll obey you in this, but these things are off limits. Not with half-hearted devotion. It's a suck it up, jump in both feet, forward motion. It requires our whole being, our mind, wills, desires, and identity. How do I know that? Well, look what comes next. Mark 10:23. Jesus looked at his followers and said to them, "It will be very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom." Be very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom. The followers were amazed at what Jesus said, but he said it again. In Hebrew culture, the repeating gives importance. So he says it again, this time with a little more emphasis. "My children, it is very hard to enter God's kingdom. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle," whatever that means, "than for a rich person to enter the God's kingdom." The followers were even more amazed and said to each other, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "That's something people can't do. But God can. He can do anything." So here's the key truth. The kingdom of God is not something you add to your life. It's something you give your life to. Now, I thought I had this message all put together, and I was ready for today, and then I had my devotions this morning. And in my devotions, I read John chapter 3. This is the story of Nicodemus. What do you know about Nicodemus? He was rich. He was a ruler. Not so young. But two of the three. He came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, I know you're a teacher sent from God." Now, Jesus doesn't call him out on that because Nicodemus wasn't trying to flatter him. He was just stating fact. "No one can do these miraculous signs that you do unless they have God's help." Jesus answered, "I assure you, everyone must be born again." That was confusing to Nicodemus. Anyone who is not born again cannot enter God's kingdom. So to this rich man, Jesus has a different reply. It's not go sell everything you have. It's be born again. Nicodemus is confused. You know the story. He says, but how can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus says, no, Nick, you got it all wrong. It's not physical birth. It's spiritual birth. You must be born again. So, he's telling Nick, believe me when I say that everyone must be born from water and the Spirit. Anyone who's not born from water and the Spirit cannot enter God's kingdom. The only life people get from their human parents is physical. I'm not talking about physical life, Nick. I'm talking about spiritual life. You must be born of the Spirit. So, what's that have to do? I don't know whether you made the connection, but for me, it was a big connection. Here's two guys, both rich, both come with the same question. This guy is told, what you're doing is all wrong. You're focused on the wrong stuff. Sell your money. Get rid of your money. Give to the poor. Give your devotion to God. Nick is told, you've been doing a good job, Nick, but you must be born again. See, he looked at Nicodemus and said, you're devoted to God. I can see that. You're one of the leaders of the Pharisees. You recognize God just in how you greeted me. And you understand that no one can do miracles unless God is involved. You've got this first part right. You've, at the Ten Commandments, you've got the left side and you've got the right side all figured out. But you still can't get in because you haven't given your heart completely. You haven't surrendered. You haven't surrendered all your very being, your control, if you will, over your life. We're going to go back to Mark now, Mark 10:28. Peter said to Jesus, because the disciples are here listening to this whole discussion between the rich young ruler and the other followers. Peter, don't you love Peter? If Peter's confused, he just opens his mouth. Give me some help here, Jesus. We left everything to follow you. In other words, he's saying, we have sold everything. What about us? And Jesus says, listen to this. I can promise that everyone who has left their home, brothers, sister, mother, father, children, or farm for me and the good news about me will get 100 times more than they left. Here in this world, they will get more homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and farms. And with these things, they will have persecutions. Thanks for that. Jesus is saying, if you feel like you've given stuff up for me, don't sweat it. I'll replace what you think you've given up with good stuff. And then he goes on, you're going to get those things. They're going to be a struggle for you too. But in the world that is coming, they will also get eternal life. That's where the 100 times more comes from. Jesus isn't asking us just to believe in a kingdom and a sweet by and by with harps and clouds. He's calling us to enter into it. We don't enter with our resume. We don't enter with our list of accomplishments. We don't buy our way in. We enter with empty hands and a fully surrendered heart. I don't know about you, but that's how it was for me. It was like, God, I've been trying and I can't. I'm trying to be good. Mom and Dad raised me to be good, and I'm trying, but I mess up. I keep blowing it. I don't want to. It's the old Romans 7 thing again. I want to do right, but I fall short. I don't want to do wrong, but here I am doing wrong again. God, help me. Is there anything to deliver me from this mess? Thanks be to God. There's Jesus. And when we surrender him to him, he takes it. And when we take the next step forward to enter into his kingdom, which we do also by faith, allowing his spirit to reign in our spirit, allowing his purposes to be accomplished through my life, not being stuck up on what I can accomplish on my own. You know, the old saying, if it's to be, it's up to me. Well, that's a sad statement, because if it's up to me, it won't be, because I'm too weak. But if it's up to him, it happens. We're going to be spending the whole month talking about what is in the kingdom. I've seen Sandy's clues as to what she's going to be talking about, and it's going to be good. You don't miss a week. Come, bring your friends back with you. I'm going to close with this. It's similar to what I said earlier, the doorstop. What is stopping me at the door? I can't answer that for you. You've got to answer it for yourself. What's keeping me from going all in? What's keeping me from full surrender? Here's the biggie. Am I just trying to add him to the life rather than giving my life to him? Yeah, I did that for a number of years. I'll try to add Jesus onto my life on Sundays. Stay out of my Mondays, Jesus, because I got work to do. What do I have to lose? And it's a lot, but you have to answer that for yourself. What do I stand to gain? Even more. Jesus said, you left this, but I'm going to give you 100 times more. What would all in actually look like for me right now? Now, for some people, it's going to be those quote friends I've been hanging out with that are dragging me down. I can't hang with them anymore. Not the way I used to. I can't participate in their nonsense, if you will. Sometimes it's family members. That's a hard one. But sometimes you have to make a separation. You're not going to be dragged into their muck. I don't know about you, but I've got family that I don't want to live the way they're living. I don't understand why they want to live the way they're living, but I don't think they know any better. So the choice is yours. If you feel like you're stuck at the door and you want to take the next step and want someone to pray with you, come. Ken's here, I'm here. A number of people will pray with you. If you are saying, oh, stuck at the door, shoot, I haven't even gotten to the door yet. How do I get to the door? We'll pray without that too. That fully surrendered stuff that he was talking to Nicodemus about. So next week, Sandy's going to talk about, next week's being Mother's Day, can you believe it? Sandy's going to talk about at home, in the kingdom, living in the kingdom at home, inside the kingdom at home. I finally got it right. she's going to ask five or six ladies to talk about what it's like to live in the kingdom in your home. Oh, is that radical? You know, it's one thing to do it at church, but when I get these kids back home, it's a struggle. Well, she's going to ask five or six ladies to tell us about it. You remember we did dad chats a couple years ago on a Father's Day. It was really good hearing her perspective from our people. So look forward to that. If she hasn't contacted you, she might. If you want to be part of it, contact her. I want to pray before we dismiss. Lord, we want to be more like Nicodemus than the rich young ruler. We want to enter into your kingdom, being born again by the Spirit, rather than going away sad. But there are things that are hard for us to get over, and we need help. So help us get over our stumbling blocks, whatever they might be, so that we can enter into your kingdom and draw other people with us. We want to fill up your kingdom. Bankrupt hell and fill up your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. We have coffee and bagels out there. Did you put a new puzzle out, Judy?
Yes.
Oh, there's a new puzzle out. Somebody went and did the last one. There's fruit. There's people to talk to. God bless you. Have a good week.